Welcome in for another episode of the Nice Job Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Hill. Episode 73 loaded up and ready to go. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode and throughout the season. We've had back-to-back record months when it comes to listenership, and that is truly all thanks to you. So thank you sincerely for tuning in to our little show here. Let's see who our next guest is on the program.
Hi, my name is Jessica Bannister.
Jessica, HVAC Jess in the house. So, what are you up to?
I am taking over the family business, and it's not going like I thought it would.
Now, that sounds like something fun to explore. So let's dive in, and I'll be back at the end of the episode with my three key takeaways. And with this time of the year, we're looking for certain themes and certain topics that we felt would really bring together a lot of the elements that we talked about throughout the season, but also throughout previous seasons and obviously in your discussions throughout the year. Now, our next guest in particular, I'm very excited to have on. Yes, I'm excited about every guest, but this one in particular because we're hoping to have a little bit of a budding relationship between Nice Job and this individual, but also a local. She and I, while we're doing this recording, not in the same room, but very close, merely a town over. And oftentimes with the Nice Job headquarters up here in British Columbia, we're talking all over North America, but now we're keeping it close. It is Jessica Bannister, an HVAC apprentice. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us here on the Nice Job Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
And I was excited to bring you on, and the topic we're going to talk about, we're going to get kind of in the family and business and things like that. But first, let's dive in a little bit just to you in particular. You know, it's not uncommon now, and it's a very good thing. We're seeing a lot more diversity across tradespeople and in the trades. But as you very well know, there's still that, oh, really, sometimes when certain people are in certain situations. HVAC, tell us a little bit about the journey. I know there's kind of some family influence, but just from you personally, with that influence aside, what is it about you that drew you to the trades and has you on this apprenticeship?
Well, it's a little bit of a long-winded story. HVAC is my second career, so I'm into this a little bit late. I went to university, got the office job just like I was expected to. And then I had an opportunity to work with my family in the family business. I started off in the office because that's where my skills were, and honestly, that's where girls go. But I found that I was having difficulty with the jargon in my quoting and invoicing, and not only that, my dad and my brother would come home from their days at work with all these stories of their adventures, these interesting things that they'd seen and people they'd met. So I asked my dad one day, can I just come with you on the job to A, see what your day-to-day is like, maybe put some names to some items that I'm quoting out and invoicing out, and I can see kind of what your day looks like. And from day one, I loved it so much that I was asking to be more out of the office than in. And so I decided to apply and register as an apprentice in British Columbia and log those hours that I was putting out in the field. And honestly, Sean, I wished I had done this earlier.
And I love that journey wasn't as much of a dissatisfaction. You talked about, like you said it, I enjoyed doing that more than kind of being in the office in a sense. So it wasn't, you know, we hear a lot of stories of the dead end and then we look for a kind of a bigger career shift. It sounded like you were, you know, there was some enjoyment, there's some fulfillment in what you were doing, but just a whole new gateway kind of opened up. And I love the fact that you touched on the fact that if it wasn't really fully for you, it still was going to help you in your in-office position to get that kind of understanding. So do you think this experience, as you kind of go through your career, if you get to a point where perhaps, you know, you're an owner running a team yourself, where you might try to make sure that those interactions happen a bit more often, that your in-office staff is in touch with what's happening outside?
Absolutely, I do. So for me, I still do the admin and the marketing and the bookkeeping and all that stuff. I just do it after hours now. But I think there's a disconnect between people in the office and people who work in the field. And I think if you're working in a very small business like ours, it's very important to have both of those worlds like kind of mesh with each other, because at the end of the day, it's an overall situation. So yes, definitely. And I do believe that my experience and my experience being in the office really does help me now in the business that I'm going to take over one day with my brother.
And we've mentioned the family, so we'll dive right into that. Sometimes when it comes to the family business, there's a bit of an opposition, right? You don't want to do exactly what your siblings are doing, exactly what your parents have done, and perhaps their parents before them. And there's other times where it just seems like that's sort of the only path. And so you kind of dive right into it. And sometimes there's almost a lack of fulfillment, right? Like it mm-hmm. almost you were so destined to do it. And not that you aren't working hard, but you never really saw another option. So you never really got a chance to expand and dream. Was there any feelings on either side for you as you were kind of growing up, as you were coming through? I want to know what your thoughts of when you first thought of, okay, I'm going to go work with my family. Was it a great welcome home? Did you feel kind of like, all right, well, at least I know it's always there. Did you fall on either side of the fence, I guess?
Well, for me, it's interesting because my dad was an apprentice for his dad back in the 70s. And then my brother followed in his footsteps right after high school. He went into HVAC right after high school. But for me and my family, it wasn't even a consideration that I could go into HVAC myself. My dad never said, hey, do you want to come and see if this interests you? And it never occurred to me to say, hey, Dad, can I come and check this out and try it? So coming into it a little bit late, I love working with my family, and I think it's super cool that I get to spend so much time with them, that we get along well enough that we can spend every day together. And it's really cool. My brother is 5 years younger than me, and he's now my mentor, my apprentice mentor. And the dynamic between us is really interesting because I think he really enjoys telling me that I'm doing it wrong, or, yeah. You should do it this way or whatever. And I'm lucky that he's encouraging and supporting, and he wants to help me. He wants to see me grow and see me do these things that I think that I can't do. So I don't think that I fell on the fence either way, because I came into it late, and my family's been so supportive this whole time. Like I said before, I wish I'd gone into it right out of high school, just like my brother did. I would be so much more advanced now in my career. But I think, things happen for a reason, and I think we're here because this is where we need to be.
I don't mean this as a loaded question in any sort of way, but I'm generally interested because I feel like a lot of people that may have this opportunity of going to work within a family business, or maybe those that are just kind of starting the journey, perhaps a question like this kind of gives them a good view at it. But how much do you feel that they are giving you knowledge, skills, and opportunity for yourself as the individual? And how much do you think goes into continuing the legacy within? So for example, to kind of make it a little bit clearer, is how much are they training you to, hey, go out, you're going to be great, in HVAC. You could own your own business, do it your own complete way, because we're going to give you the skills. And perhaps what's the percentage? It's like, well, we're teaching you our way, we're teaching you this, in hopes that you're going to take this torch and continue it through. Do you find that it's skewed one way or the other? Or, have you had any thoughts of, okay, am I making sure I'm doing this for myself as opposed to just grabbing a torch and running?
That's a really interesting question. And no one's actually asked me that straight directly. So I'm going to say that it's definitely 100% grooming me to take over this business in this way. However, I'm doing a lot of other like outside things, like I'm part of the Women in HVAC R Canada organization. And so while I think I'm always going to be in HVAC because this is what my family does and this is what I've decided to do for the rest of my life, I would like to go in different directions, like maybe like education. I could maybe become a professor or a lecturer or even like a mentor to other women going into the HVAC trade. But as far as business is concerned, I see Cam Cool for the rest of my life. and I don't know how that works, because my brother, he really appreciates and pushes the diversity side of things. He loves that I'm a woman in this trade with our little company. And so I think I could probably even convince him to do like an all women type operation. And okay. Then he could, run the show or whatever the case. But to answer your question, right now, Cam Cool is the main focus, and that's where we're going.
So you mentioned your brothers. Is that your only sibling?
Yes, just the two of us. And I think we're really lucky that we get along so well and that we can work together every day. I think my parents really appreciate that too. They're still married. They're still together after 42 years.
Oh, man.
So I think it's really cool that we're just a little family unit.
Yeah, I was say 42 years of marriage. Sounds like when you guys commit, you certainly commit. But congratulations to them. You know, unfortunately, in this day and age, that's quite the milestone there. And it seems like their offspring share that kind of, you know, loyal and dedication to try to, you know, work through and make sure that you're kind of always progressing. But I asked that pointed question in a bit because some people might think, you know, if I go into business with my family, at some point, am I competing, right? At some point, are you and your brother going to be up for, you know, a CEO or a head of an ops or something like that? But I guess ultimately it comes down to making sure that within the business itself, that you're running that while there's a familiar tone, it really is kind of a business at its core. And I'm sure that's something where when you look forward, because that's in place. So have you noticed any similarities between your company culture and almost like your family core values, right? Is there something that like, wow, our team meetings seem a lot like our family dinners, or is it completely opposite? I worked for my dad when I was younger. We owned a Dairy Queen back where I grew up in the States. And they were two distinctly different things. You know, the way he talked to us at home and the way he talked to us as employees was a little bit different, and they needed to be different in that sense. But I'm wondering, do you notice any similarities between how this business was built, the values of the business, and kind of what you learned growing up and the values of the family? How much of those are intertwined?
I think for us, it's pretty intertwined. My dad is a great boss, and he's also a really difficult boss because I feel like he dads us at work. And sometimes that means that maybe I need some discipline. Maybe I do something that he doesn't like, or and he won't say anything. He'll just be like, "It's fine, next time." But and I feel like sometimes I need that harsh, like, "Don't do that. You've done wrong. Don't do that again," kind of thing, so it can stick in my mind, so that I, you know, next time I go do that thing, I'm like, "Oh no, don't." So we get a little bit of that, and we really try to keep family stuff and business stuff separate, because my mom doesn't work in the business and my husband doesn't work in the business. Sometimes though, at like the brunch table or the dinner table, that something will come up that we're talking about a client or, you know, a compressor or whatever the case, and we have to remember, like, dial it back. There are two people at the table that this doesn't concern at all. So we really try to keep them separate.
Yeah, so I got to think if the HVAC breaks at home, is that immediately the dad job as it might be, or is he outsourcing
Dad is totally hands-on, so he will take it and he will deal with it.
now? And in particular, talk about, you know, coming through the family business. You also mentioned, you know, coming in as a woman in this trade, and you know, with other organizations. And I wonder if you could touch upon. It really does feel like a movement now, right? I think over the past couple of years, we've seen a lot more diversity just because, quite honestly, I have no problem kind of being forward this. It's the right thing to do for your business. Hire quality people to do the jobs that are necessary and stop having these arbitrary sort of picture of what success looks like. But this movement has come with a lot of camaraderie. And a lot of really defining what it means to be a woman in some of these trades, right? Because it's not just, you know, think of us as all emotionless or physical, you know, remove all that. It's like, no, we are a woman in this trade. We are approaching it as a woman. And I love to kind of get your almost either identification or your, what kind of message do you like to spread when talking to other women or women that might be wanting to go in the trades of what it's like to be in this profession at this moment in time?
At this moment in time, it's like the best time to be a woman in the trade, because like you said, it is becoming so much more accepted and even, dare I say it, like trendy to have a woman on your staff. Like, people want to show that they're diverse and they want to have that woman on the team. And I think it's really important for us to realize that we are different at the end of the day. We do have our strengths and our weaknesses, and I think it's important to work together. So, for example, I have a couple of different skills than my brother does, and that's going to take our business to the next level, I really think. So where he has weaknesses, I can come in, attention to detail, you know, all of the administrators kind of stuff. And then where I have weakness, like actual physical weakness, he comes along and he helps me out, and we're a team, and we know that I know I can rely on him when I need him, and he knows that he can rely on me. And I really think that we need to embrace our differences and embrace working together.
Yeah, because I mean, I feel like it's always a team element, right? Because even like the solo entrepreneurs out there, you know, ones that are maybe, you know, one person shops right now, just getting started before they've even really expanded their team. The other people that they're relying with, whether it's suppliers or vendors or, you know, clients in that regard, there's such a diversity in that realm that I always find it funny when people think that this type of industry needs to be this particular type of person, because you solve more difficult problems the more brains you kind of get on it, right? So the more different points of view. Is there a time where you can identify or point to where perhaps your particular point of view or a different way that you're able to look at it was kind of able to maybe spark that aha moment, or maybe, you know, make a subtle change that has really impacted, you know, the business going forward?
Well, I don't really think of one single time, but definitely, and I'm not sure if it's because I'm a woman or if it's because I'm an apprentice and I have questions that maybe my dad and my brother don't even think of because they know already. But definitely, I ask these questions. I'm like, why wouldn't you do it that way? Why would you do it that way? And then I see them sometimes stop and think. Sometimes it's like immediate and they're like, nope, can't do that. Okay, that's fine. But sometimes they'll stop and think and be like, oh, you know, I'd never thought of it from that way. So again, I'm not sure if that's the woman side of things or the apprentice side of things.
And I even love the way that you kind of answer that from both sides. Like, you know, I'm not sure what it is, but that just goes perfectly put it down, is that I don't think it matters if it's the apprentice side or the woman side, right? It was a team member bringing in a new perspective. And I think ultimately that's where we see, you know, successful businesses. So you talked about being a smaller organization now, you know, a smaller company in that sense. What does the future look like? Do you think there's going to be, you know, sort of some larger growth? Would you like to see that? Would you like to perhaps get in a position where you're helping really promote that growth a bit more? You know, what would you like to see as the future of the company right now?
So my dad is 66 years old. So we've been preparing for his retirement for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And between you and I don't think he's ever going to retire. And when I first started as an apprentice, I was like, all right, this is my turn. Like, I'm here and I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to run the business and do all these things. And now, 3 years into it, I'm like, Dad, please don't leave us. We need your knowledge and expertise and all of your, you know, all of those years that you've had. So I think for the foreseeable future, I think we're going to continue as we are, as a really small show. We like to kind of have control over it, if I may say.
Yeah.
But when my dad finally retires and hands the reins over to my brother and I, it's going to be a partnership. I would really like to support some other families in, like, locally, more HVAC techs, whether they're men or women. I would like to have a small team under us so that, I don't know, have some new skills as well, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important to kind of recognize, what it sounds like you are, and if I'm off base, you know, feel free to correct me there, but you talked about your dad preparing for retirement, and as much as you kind of don't want to see him go, you need that knowledge expertise, it sounded like in the tone of your voice, you recognize that that moment will need to come in order for this to really continue on, right? Like, we talk about passing the torch, it requires someone letting go, and then someone grabbing and going forward. So what are there those discussions kind of happening between you and your brother, or, you know, including your dad, of what that letting go and what that grab looks like? You know, again, he may never want to retire or get back, but is there a point where he kind of can just be that small little silo, just doing the couple little things, but the, you know, the gas that's really driving the engine is you and your brother? Have you had those sort of discussions? And if so, what are the type of things that are coming up?
We have had those discussions. We need to have more discussions. I would say it's probably because of how we were brought up. My brother and we were brought up in South Africa. We moved to Canada in the year 2000. So we've been in Canada for over 20 years. But I think the way we were brought up is we have a very high respect for our parents. Mm-hmm. And like I said in the beginning, like, it went, when I first started out, I had my hand on that torch. And I was like, I'm not letting go. but over time, it's like, okay, well, we need to be able to give our dad space to embrace this kind of change, this transition that's happening in his life. We have to be careful of that, I think, because we don't want to push him out by any means. I mean, it's his blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into this business for the last 20 years. And I think it's unfair for us to like shove him out and say, our turn now. So the discussions are casual for
Yeah.
now, but at the same time, like my brother and I, we're getting along in our years, and I feel like we're in our prime right now, and this is when we should be taking the reins and going for it. But we're also cognizant of the fact that, we have all this respect for Dad, and he's got to be the one to let it go. So it's a bit of a touchy subject right now.
I imagine. Well, that actually leads perfectly into the question that I've been asking all of our guests here in season three, because we like to kind of compare and contrast the answers. And so I'll give you the opportunity to answer as well. And you can answer it on the business side or the personal side. But the question I've been asking everybody, which do you embrace more, challenges or opportunities?
I'm gonna go with opportunities, I think. Or challenge, yeah. The whole reason I love HVAC is because there's a daily challenge. There's a problem to solve every single day. But opportunities excite me so much. Especially, I'm pushing social media really hard. I truly believe in the quote, "You can't be what you can't see." So that's why I post a picture of myself on the job, doing something with my hands with the tools every single day in the hopes that someone will see that post and say, "Oh, if she can do it, I can do it too." And there have been a lot of opportunities that have come out of that. And that just excites me. Next year, 2022, is going to be a very exciting year.
Well, as excited as you are, we are excited to kind of watch the journey unfold as well. And I appreciate the time that you spent here on the show. You mentioned the socials. If people are looking to reach out, connect with you, or just see what you're up to, where should we direct them towards?
Instagram is my jam, so you can find me at HVAC Jess. I post daily and on my stories multiple times a day. And I also just started a YouTube channel. It's about 2 months old now. It's called the HVAC Diaries. You could probably just search for HVAC Jess and you'll find me.
Nice. Well, we'll also link those in the description below. So if you're listening on audio only, you can find it in the show notes there. If you're watching on YouTube, right down there. Links to both. You can go ahead and click and follow and subscribe as well. Jessica, I appreciate the time. I love the energy and passion that you brought to this episode, and also what you're doing out there on social. It's part of the reason that we at Nice Job, we kind of took notice a bit, and we were happy to kind of, work with you a little bit and kind of welcome you into the kind of our Nice Job community in that sense. But the fact that you're able to take time out to join us on the podcast, I am forever thankful. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been awesome.
Thank you once again to Jessica for joining us here on the show. Real pleasure talking to her. And as I mentioned at the top, we're going to be doing some more things with HVAC Jess in the future. My three key takeaways, and if there's something you got from this episode that I don't bring up, drop us a message, podcast@nicejob.com. We'd love to hear from you. My first key takeaway was really about communication dynamics. Jess talked about how her and her brother are able to communicate to work well together, and how they are communicating as a family to create a smooth transition when that time comes. It almost goes to say that if you're unable to communicate with your family members outside of business, it's going to get that much harder once you go into business together. My second key takeaway was Jess's transition from being in office then out in the field, and she talked about how that was extremely helpful for the in-office duties. I think it's key not to forget that sometimes the disconnect that can happen between teams or departments that don't often get to see the job from another's view. Perhaps find time in your business to make sure that everyone has a little cross-training and a clear understanding of what's being asked and what's being delivered. And my final takeaway, and perhaps the most important of all, is when Jess talked about if you can't see it, you can't be it. It was her main motivation for having social media presence and getting involved with organizations that are helping women in the trades. If you can't see it, you can't be it. Is your business representing the diversity that you want to bring in? If not, why not? Start taking charge and show everyone out there that they're going to see it from you, and then now they can be it. Once again, if you have a takeaway that I didn't get to, we'd love to hear from you, podcast@nicejob.com. And if you're a loyal listener, drop us a line. I may have a special deal on some Nice Job software for you as well. Once again, it's podcast@nicejob.com. Just two more episodes to go here in season three. I thank you once again for tuning in. And until next time, I hope you're being healthy. I hope you're being safe. And don't forget, have a little fun out there as well. Take care.